Winter is coming. That's not to stress you out, but to get you in the mindset for making holiday-themed products.
Some creators make more money during the holiday season than the entire year altogether. And Spring wants you to be ready. Over the next few weeks, they'll be sharing all the content you need to earn big this holiday season, like guides for selling on Instagram, product ideas and inspiration, promotional strategies, and tons more.
Head to Spring's Instagram and follow them at Spring for Creators to stay in the loop. That's at Spring for Creators.
This week on Creator Upload, Lauren got imitated on and she's pissed. And Nas Daily takes us through a $15 million funding round and how creators are going to take over the future.
Welcome to Creator Upload, your creator economy podcast. I am Lauren Schnipper.
And I'm Joshua Cohen. Lauren.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure if you're aware, but there is another
what?
Creator economy podcast that just dropped.
What? Heavens. Tell me more.
Guess what it's called?
Let me think. If they went online and they searched, I don't know, one of the two other creator economy podcasts and decided to steal one of the names of the other ones, they might come up with, I don't know, The Upload.
Correct. It's from YouTube. It's the first official podcast from YouTube. It's called The Upload, The Rise of the Creator Economy.
Jeez.
It is hosted by Brittany Luz.
Sure.
And the series is co-created with National Public Media, the owner of NPR.
Mm-hmm.
And Brittany Luz is an award-winning journalist and culture critic who also co-hosts the Four Color Nerds podcast. Lauren, you have some thoughts on this.
I do. You as well. We have discussed this offline. But basically, last week, we took the week off because it was a Jewish holiday, Yom Kippur, the holiest day of the year. Unfortunately, that was the coincidence. I don't know. But the day that they announced this podcast, my phone was blowing up like, OMG, YouTube stole your name. Now, let's just be clear. They are called The Upload, like the rise of the creator economy. We are called Creator Upload, the creator economy podcast. We've been around for almost 2 years. We did do a name change, but that name change has been in effect for almost a year. And let's just be clear. I worked for one of these big companies, as people know, and you have to do a little bit of due diligence to make sure, you know, before you sign up to do something like this, that you, you know, I don't know, stealing a name, you know, that might come up. So let's just pretend they've never heard of us. Let's just go on a limb, say they've never heard of us, right? Fine. If you literally Google like The Upload, creator economy, then like any of combination of, you will find our podcast. There is a zero, let me be clear, 0.0% chance their legal team was unaware of us. They've made the choice consciously to ignore it and not care. Now, what does that mean for us? Some people take the mindset like, you know what? It's Google. They're going to put a lot of probably ads against it. So you're going to probably benefit from what they call the SEO, which is essentially the search of it all. And people will find your podcast and discover it more, which is, I guess, like a positive way. I mean, I'm pissed. I think it's total plagiarism. I don't think it is total plagiarism. We've been doing this for a long time.
It's not total plagiarism.
It's complete and 100% plagiarism.
It's not total plagiarism.
I'm furious about it. And I just feel like, I think what makes me mad is that like, we have no recourse here, right? Like we can't compete with YouTube. Like we can't. It's just upsetting that they just feel like they don't have to play by any rules. And it's not to say, like, I'm not unaware. Like I know there's, you know, podcasts that have similar names, but it's literally virtually the same name about the same topic. It's one thing, you know, if it were the same name, but it was about, you know, umbrellas. I don't know what that just came to me. But anyway, it's not. It's about the creator economy. And it's just, I'm pissed.
I have a much different vantage point of it.
An annoying
one. Whether they knew about it, whether they didn't know about it, like, I don't know, I don't care. But I think this is ultimately good for us. I think anyone that brings more attention to this specific space and this niche of a space and audio format is just blowing up the consciousness and going to get more listeners all around. And when they go to this YouTube's The Upload, they're going to want to see what else is out there too. And they're going to discover us because our names are very similar.
I'm willing to entertain that idea. And I'm not naive to the fact that there could be some residual benefits for us. I just find it just the gall of them to just like not care. Like the principle of it really pisses me off. And then another thing, I spoke to an attorney friend of mine because, you know, just wanted to get his thoughts. And what he said that I think will potentially become true is that in all likelihood, people who were encountered from here on out are going to think that we are imitating them because ultimately they have the marketing capabilities well beyond that we have. So there will be people that will discover this podcast because of the marketing dollars they're putting against it that will not have heard of ours and might then stumble upon ours and then think like, oh, wow, somebody copied YouTube, because that's just what the people, because people will think that.
And I just don't buy that. I think consumers are savvier these days and they know how to do a simple search to see when your first episode was uploaded.
Apparently Google doesn't.
And then they can go from there.
Apparently they need to work with use a better browser.
I'm also flattered. This shows that we had we were prescient and had very good instincts about the kind of niche we wanted to get into and the name we wanted to do with this podcast. I'm happy and flattered with that. But also, one of our good family friends growing up was this housing developer. And he would always tell us that the best thing that could happen for one of his housing developments is for another housing development to show up across the street.
Can you tell me imitation is the best form of flattery? I'm going to vomit in my mouth.
No, not imitation is the best form of flattery. But I feel like, look, if this wasn't an industry worth getting into and worth talking about it and worth having hopefully intelligent-ish conversations about, then no one else would be doing it, but they are. So I think it's great.
When we were thinking about changing our name, somebody gave us why wouldn't it be called Creator Download, which actually makes a bit more sense. But we felt, because we had been previously called Planet Upload, that we wanted to have a tie-in to our previous name. So people would understand it's the same podcast. We basically woke up one day and we're like, why is Creator not in the name of our podcast? It seems super obvious, but it wasn't at the time when we initially named it. So we then called it Creator Upload. So I just actually find it really funny that they went with the upload. It would have made more sense for them to be the download, the Creator Economy podcast.
I don't know. I think people want to be up and happy and chipper at this day and age, and they don't want to have down in any type of vocabulary. So I get the
irregardless, which is actually a word now in the dictionary. I get it. I get it. Just the gall and the hubris and the we're not going to care. It just pisses me off. And
okay,
I don't
so
know
we're at
I'm
different
gonna...
sides of this coin. I'm flattered. YouTube, thank you.
By the way, I must be in a debate mode. I did this. Facebook asked me to do this debate series this week where I had this talk thing where I had to talk about what I think about influencer marketing and that it's not the only way to monetize. And this other dude was like, no, it's the only ways. Anyway, the point is I'm used to being on polaring opposite sides of my counterpart. And I am also used to being right, which I am.
So long story short, Lauren's a little frustrated. I'm less frustrated, even happy.
It's annoying.
And
your point of view is annoying.
I think in order to make this right for my counterpart over on the other microphone on the other side of the world, I think maybe, just have us on your program.
Yeah. Reach out. Let's collaborate.
Let's do a little collaboration. I think that would make Lauren feel a lot better.
Anyway, moving on. Despite all this controversy and drama, we are so excited to have such an amazing episode today. We're just actually going to get right to it. We interviewed Naz Daily, aka Nosire Yassin, who is a huge creator, made his mark really on Facebook, has over 20 million followers on just his main page, not to mention all the other translated pages. And he started a company called Naz Academy that just got a big investment that's really going to change the face of creator investment. And he came to my house in Los Angeles for an interview, and we are so excited for everybody to hear it and thank him so much for the support.
Yeah, love this interview. It was great to speak to Naz. Been following him forever now since he started his one video a day journey on Facebook 5-6 years ago now. In any case, was great to talk to him. Super insightful. Excited for you all to hear it.
All right. We are so excited today to welcome to Creator Upload Nosire, also known as Naz Daily. Thank you so much for being here. Say hello to everybody.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for having me, Lauren and Josh. This is going to be fun.
So excited. All right. I'm going to just start. I'm going to dive right in. We have so much to get to. So let's talk about you a little bit. You are a Palestinian Israeli. You got a scholarship to Harvard to study econ and computer science. You took a job at Venmo as a software developer in about 2014, quit in 2016 to explore the world and launch your Facebook page known as Naz Daily. You've got 20 million followers. You're still getting over 1 million views a video. Other fun stats, 4.5 million subs on YouTube, 2.7 million on TikTok, 2.9 on Instagram. Facebook, which it seems is your core platform, I would argue. You mm-hmm. made this sort of declaration that you were going to release 1 minute videos for 1,000 days, and it was meant to kind of showcase the magic of the world and get people excited about life. You did that in January 2019. You stopped and decided to see what's next. And next came, it would seem, Naz Academy, which is what I'm so excited to talk about today. You recently raised $11 million from a bunch of really big names. It's a virtual education startup based in Singapore. The website says it is for world-class learning, global classmates, live sessions, and practical tips to help you in the 21st century. Thank you so much for being here. That's a lot. I wanted to get it all in so we can just get to the meat of it. But
I love it. Yeah. Lauren, that was the best 1 minute bitch I've heard in my life, to be honest. Like, it's really good.
You're welcome. I'm available. I'm available for all your party needs.
I don't know if you're affordable.
Definitely sure. Not. Very expensive. Thank you for saying that.
We have to come as a team too, because I actually wrote that.
Yes.
No way. She was taking credit for it.
No, completely. Completely. So talk to us. Josh, you want to start off? We have so many questions about Nas Academy.
Yeah. Well, tell us like what it is. What's the pitch for Nas Academy?
What's the pitch? The pitch is very simple, okay? Like, look, guys, like, you know, the world's changing, right? What used to be the place where you get media from is changing. It used to be from two newspapers. Now you get media from 5,000 YouTube channels, right? You used to get taxi from one company. Now you get taxi from 5,000 individuals. Okay, it's about damn time that education changes. You used to get education from two universities. Now, in the future, you're going to get education from 20,000 content creators and doers around the world. Nas Academy is a platform in which it helps you to become an academy. You take a creator and turns them into an educator so that people can go seek their knowledge. Because, as they say, knowledge is the only thing that increases when you give it away. That's essentially the idea, right?
I love that. I've never heard that before. Go on.
Yeah, I didn't come up with it. But that is
that's
a very
all right.
famous saying.
See, I took credit for Josh's thing. You take credit for this. It's great. We're all winning.
I'd argue other intangible nouns like maybe love too, but that's for a different podcast.
Go.
Love is love, for example.
Amazing. Go on. So yes, education needs to change.
Yes. That's it. So what Nas Academy does is essentially it empowers average creators to spread their knowledge. And I think inherently everybody wants to teach. Everybody should teach. Everybody should spend at least 10% of their life teaching. Mm-hmm. And what's even better, the cherry on the top, is that you can make a crap ton of money if you teach, right? You know, people are willing to pay to get your knowledge because it is valuable. I would love to understand how journalism works, or how the tech world works, or how the creator world works from you guys. And I may be willing to pay for it.
Again, very expensive.
And so, but this is a model that's existed, right? Masterclass is probably the leader in the space right now. There's
yes.
other upstarts like Maven that are trying to do this, like cohort-led 100%. Learning. There's On Deck that tries to do like different classes and different seasons of learning with individuals who want to start companies together. Where did you see the entry point here?
Josh, if you don't have competition, you're doing the wrong company.
That's what I tell Lauren all the time. I was having this conversation with Lauren over the past 72 hours even. It's crazy. Yeah, but yeah, go on.
Really? That's funny. We're the same, dude. By the way, so Masterclass is amazing. It's the only company in the world that made me want to learn on the internet. So I actually never bought a course up until Masterclass came about. Now, the problem with Masterclass is that it does not promote ownership. You put your course on it. They charge a monthly mm-hmm. thing and for everybody, right? So you don't feel ownership over your masterclass. There's no cohort-based learning in masterclass. And you know how many people are teaching in masterclass? 114.
Wow.
114 people created a $3 billion company. Think about that for a second.
Wow.
Now, what Nas Academy does, it yeah. enables the remaining 100,000 people who will never be invited to masterclass to build their own masterclass, right? With their own ownership, with their mm-hmm. own distribution and marketplace. And we believe the opportunity and the grass is incredibly damn green right now.
And so you started this, you basically bootstrapped this yourself from the get-go. You found several teachers. Like, tell us about the genesis.
So Nas Academy actually was profitable from day one. You know, we started a couple of courses. We were like, hey, look, you know, you follow Nas daily because you like travel and you like videos. So let me teach you how to make videos. Let me teach you how to become a creator. And then, bam, it was like, you know, priced at $1,000 and 1 month long course. And people really bought it. And the average rating was 9.9. All of a sudden, we were a multi-million revenue generating company from day one. And, you know, we only started losing money when we started hiring software engineers because they're so damn expensive.
But you initially were in person and there was a pivot, right? Like there was initially in person, then you pivoted to online.
Yeah. So, you know, I wanted to prove the model in person first. So come to our office. We'll teach you for a month. Give us a little bit of money. That's it. And then bam, it worked. And then COVID came and that forced us to go online. Mm-hmm. It forced us to go on Zoom. And you know, it was very uncomfortable, but it was probably the best thing to happen to us, COVID, right? And it's a terrible thing, but it really made us normalize Zoom and normalize global classmates and online education. So the opportunity is today to create online education through Zoom and through cohort-based settings. So lockdown, started hiring engineers immediately and started building an online learning experience that works for us. which is not just selling video files. Masterclass, for example, is just video files. Teachable is just video files. Udemy is just video files. We add the NAS element to things, which is the human element to things in education. And that's why you see completion rates to be, you know, 5-8x more than Skillshare and Udemy and whatnot.
What do you mean by that human element?
Yeah, what are those?
The human element, guys, humans. We love humans. So you know, the idea behind it is like, look, if you take a NAS Academy class, you're guaranteed to meet a human, either a classmate or a trainer or the creator themselves, right? Guaranteed. Mm-hmm. I mean, I graduated Harvard 7 years ago. I don't remember a single thing I learned. I just remember my community, right? My classmates. Yeah. And now I'm benefiting from it 7 years later. So I do believe that when you have a human learning with you, you are much more likely to finish the course or be interested in it as opposed to just a video file. So that's that hybrid experience we devised. That's why we need technology to build that experience.
And how do we meet other humans? Is there a specific time where the teacher's teaching? Is it cohort-based learning? Like, what's the deal?
Every 100 people that buy a class, we put them in their own WhatsApp group, in their own wave, as we call it. And then they get a facilitator. And the facilitator makes sure that they all get to know each other and learn from each other. They meet on Zoom twice. And then once a month, they meet the creator, the person who they want to learn from. So that's kind of that hybrid experience. You watch the video, you meet the classmates, and you meet the creator is essentially all you need to get a high completion rate.
Interesting. So it's this like medium touch model, I would say.
Yes.
Between the people taking the course and the creators themselves.
Correct. Exactly. Creators are very time poor. So we want to make sure that creators don't spend too much time on it, because we want teaching to take 10% of your life, not 100%.
I always say you have to, with all these companies around creators, you have to add value, not work. And you can add a little bit of work once you have added a tremendous amount of value, but like you can't add, there's so much going on their plates. Like you can't, and you know, you are a prime example of that, which I want to get into even what you're doing beyond this. But I'd love, can we talk a little bit about just like, then you raised money, like how was that going out and doing that? I don't know that you've ever done that before, right? Like, so what was that process like?
Yeah, Lauren, can you imagine? Someone gave us $11 million. That's crazy.
I cannot imagine.
I think like multiple someones and multiple big someones too.
Yeah.
Multiple someones. First of all, this is the first time I decided to raise money after 5 years of doing this stuff. Yeah. And I think the reason why we decided to raise money is because we believe the future is better than the present. We are very excited about where the future is heading. And finally, we have a model that deserves investment. Because for the first 5 years, it was just like me making videos, and that's not scalable. If I have $10 million in the bank or $100 million in the bank, I wouldn't change anything, right? I wouldn't hire more video editors. I wouldn't do sales. I wouldn't do that. So now we know what needs to be built, and that is very expensive. So we went to the market and we said, look, this is what we have done. This is our vision. Our vision is creator tech. What is creator tech? It's not ed tech. It's not fintech. It's not blah, blah tech. It's creator tech. We want to build technology tools for the modern creator. And we believe we are uniquely positioned in the world to do that because we are creators. We are a mix of creators and software engineers, right? We are entertainers. We know how to do videos, but we also know how to write code. And that combination makes us, you know, unique in the world as a company. And I think there's only like 20 companies in the world that will compete with us on creator tech that are not the platforms, you know, startups. And I'm pretty damn fucking sure we can win.
I'm ready to sign a check right now. Let's do it.
And did you know some of these people like Balaji, the people at Lightspeed? Like, were you in touch with them before? Had you interacted with lots of these people? Are these like the circles you kind of walk around with because of your experience with Nas Daily? Or when you went through this venture raising process, you got to know all these guys?
Yeah. So actually, what I love about the raising the money is, honestly, I made more friends. You know, I was lonely before fundraising. And after fundraising, now I have so many friends.
Well, I feel like we should be very candid that you and I think we met previously, but we met in that fundraising process as well.
Exactly.
So, Lauren is one of them. Currently, we should just let you know, in my dining room, and I'm in the next room in Los Angeles. And so, I mean, if we're not friends now, I don't know what we are.
When we went out to raise, I met a lot of new people. People like, you know, friend of a friend's that connect me to people. But I think a lot of them knew Nas Daily before, right? So that was the beauty of content and having, you know, 30, 40 million followers is that they know you. Content travels fast. If there's one thing I want to tell creators is that content is more contagious than COVID-19. You know that Wikipedia Hitler thing, right? There's only three links. So you can go to any page on Wikipedia, and you jump link to link from Wikipedia page to Wikipedia page, like any topic in the world, you only have 3 degrees separation or 4 degrees separation to Hitler Wikipedia page.
Oh my God, this is like the I don't know if you've ever heard of the Kevin Bacon.
Yes, the Kevin Bacon. Bacon.
But that's similar 7 degrees. That. 3 degrees. Okay.
I don't know if it's 3 degrees or 5 degrees or 7 degrees. Whatever
that
it is.
Like, that's scary, right? Like, that's not a good thing that we get to Hitler in 3 clicks, right? Like, what are like, I'm just wondering what the point is.
You could be talking about cream cheese and you could get to Hitler in
But like,
three,
is that a bad thing? Like, I feel like that's a bad thing, right?
No, it's a bad thing, right. But it shows you how interconnected the world is, right?
Okay.
And so essentially what I'm saying is if you make a piece of content, you can get to Obama in three reshares, you can get to Obama, right? So you create a piece of content. Hey, we're fundraising. Lauren sees it. Okay, she sends it to, I don't know who your top friend is, and your top friend is probably knows Obama. So that's it. You know, now Obama knows about Nas Daily.
I just to say, like, yes, those are the circles I run in.
So here's what you wrote in your blog post announcing the funding raise. We have generated over $2 million from education for our first 5 creators. Masterclass has built an incredible education product out of 100 masters. We believe there are 100,000 plus other creators who are being left out. Their academies can generate significant income for them, of course, but also significant good to the world. Let's break down that income part. Tell us about how that, like, we've generated over $2 million from education for our first 5 creators works.
Yeah, so that was for the first year of operation. So, of course, the majority of that revenue is from the Nas Daily courses because that's what we, you know, beta tested on. If you look at that revenue, 50% of it is retail, right? Like students buying, hello, I want to learn. I'm from Canada. I'm from whatever. And the second 50% is brands and governments. And that's what blew our mind is that when we offered educational products, it was a lot more attractive to brands than media products, than distribution products. And so, you know, you see Singapore Airlines saying, hey, I want you to upskill my employees. I want to buy this course. You get government of the United Arab Emirates saying, hey, I would like you to upskill my citizens. And here is money. So I think when you look at the future of Nas Academy, not only do we want to empower the creator to become an academy, but we also want to empower the brands and the governments to use that creator's knowledge in their favor. And so we can connect those two.
And to be clear too, you're not out to necessarily have all these creators do courses on like how to be a creator, right? Like I think that's also like really important to sort of acknowledge, right? Because all of them, that might be part of it, but also there's like, they have different expertise that you're trying to encourage people to sort of teach those, right?
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. So a creator can teach whatever the heck they want. Right. And if you're a food blogger, you could probably make a cooking course. You could productize your knowledge, any knowledge you want. So I teach how to write, right? It's like not necessarily for creators only, but for really anybody.
I'm a creator. Like, what's my kind of incentive here? What's the breakdown? What's the split? How's that work?
What's your incentive here? Oh, that's what we mean by ownership. You keep most of the revenue, just like the Airbnb model. You keep most of the revenue. This is yours. We just enable you to get a landing page, distribution, operations, and we help you with the editing and the shooting and the marketing, right? But this is yours. You keep the emails, you keep the phone numbers, you can do whatever the heck you want with the students. And I think that's something you will never get on Skillshare. You will never get a masterclass. You will never get anywhere else. And so the Airbnb model is fascinating. Mm-hmm. You put your room on Airbnb, you can make money and you become a hotel. You put your brain on Nas Academy, you can become a university, and you make money.
That's a great investor pitch.
Oh, I love it. Put your brain on Nas Academy. I love it.
And so are you public with the percentages? Is it like 8.5% you take, 7.5%? Like, what's the deal?
Percentages range depending on how much we help you. Like, if we go and edit, I mean, I'm sure you know this from like Jelly Smack days, but you know, if I come and help you edit your course and market everything and blah, 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 you know, of course it's a higher take rate than if it's less.
No, it makes a ton of sense.
But it's the vast majority goes to you.
I want to pivot just a little bit just to you being a creator entrepreneur, because this, we're in just this, like, I don't know, I don't want to call it a bubble. I don't know what it is right now, but like in the past, you know, 6 to 12 months, our world has just blown up. And Josh and I talk about this all the time. We've been in this world, you know, for over a decade each. And so just to see, it's both validating and also just like, you want to bang your head across the wall because you're just like, I've been here the whole time. Where have you people been? And now everybody's coming in. And somebody said a term to me recently that I really appreciated. There's a lot of entrepreneurial tourists in this space right now.
Yes.
You know, a couple years ago, it was like, everybody was like, D2C was the hot thing. The money was going there. So you had had them there. So this is where we are. You are obviously not a tourist in this space. You've helped build this space. So that I wouldn't say that is you at all.
Thank you, Lauren. Thank you. Appreciate
it. You're welcome. So walk us through the transition of sort of being a creator turned entrepreneur. You know what I mean? Like there's some things that are obviously similar, right? Because you're building things in both, but one, you know, requires a lot more taxes and forms.
The right brain and one requires the left brain.
Yes. So is this something you always kind of knew you wanted to do, is start a company? Like, just talk us through that a little bit.
Yeah. I think in the future, you'll see a lot more creator founders.
Yes.
Creator entrepreneurs.
Absolutely.
100% more, right? Because when you have distribution, at some point you're going to say, why do I give value to you when I could keep most of the value because I have the distribution?
Yep.
And so that's essentially the logic behind it. However, not every creator is going to go and build an Us Academy, and not every creator is going to go and raise money.
No.
And the reason for that is because I think if you're a true artist, mm-hmm. there's a very low chance that you're a good CEO.
Yeah.
And I think I am not a true artist. And I think that's the issue. So I'm not born as an artist or as a creative person. Before Nas Daily, I was a software engineer.
Yeah.
And my dream has always been to build a technology company.
Yep.
And so being a creator is just a stop in the journey.
Yeah.
But the journey is really to become an entrepreneur. That's why it made sense.
Sure.
Oh, now I user tested the creator world and now I'm going to build for it.
Yeah.
For others, their end goal is just to be a creator.
Yep.
They don't want to hire anybody. They just want to create.
Yep. They might think that they can do it, but it's a very different set of skills, right? And I guess, so what do you think is critical in building a creator company? What people don't know also is that you're sitting next to your partner in my dining room right now, who I imagine, you know, might have a different set of skills than you do, right? You complement each other really well. Alex Dweck is sitting there. He can't hear us talking about him, but he's right there. but so if people are, let's say they are, maybe have that, I never remember which one it is, right or left brain, but the part of the brain that's business savvy.
Yes.
Know, what are the critical things that you need to sort of start your company, you know, even getting it from the ground up? Because people, you know.
So I think hiring for creators with distribution is so much easier than hiring for just normal student, like graduate entrepreneurs, right? Because you have, again, a network.
Yeah.
So what happened with the Nas Daily journey is, you know, I wouldn't be here without the team, right?
Sure.
We're 100 people now around the world from 29 countries. Wow. And what we do is, you know, the first people that got me from zero to one are, you know, literally my Instagram followers. Literally put on Instagram, say, I need help in editing. Someone comes in, says, I love what you do. I'm going to help you. I need help in HR. Comes in, I want to help you. Then the people that get you from zero to one are actually very different than the people that get you from one to 10.
Yeah.
So slowly you start to attract the company builders, right? The people who've built enterprises before, like Alex, like Akshay, like Timo, like all these people that have joined Nas Academy because they understand what's it. They see the MVP and they're like, I know how to scale this beyond just your creative little studio.
I think that's so, I just wanted to break that down because I think that is so critical, like, because I think what ends up happening, what I see with a lot of creators, is that they're very insulated, right? Because they build this thing kind of on their own and it's hard to get them to trust people. So then they maybe let one person in that does like one thing for them. And so they, editing example, right? Like something like producer, something like that. And that person might be great. But what I see happens very often is the creator then, okay, I trust this person. Let me give them all my ideas. And the truth of the matter is that person may or may not be good with these other ideas. Collaboration is so critical to building a company, which is, I think, what you're kind of saying. And also recognizing what you're good at and what you're not good at and what the people around you are good at and not good at. Does that kind of distill what you were saying?
Yeah. Actually, you know, I'll give you a little secret here. I tried to hire a CEO 3 times.
Really?
And no one knows about this.
Okay. Ooh, a scoop. Hold on. It's a scoop.
A scoop. Nas Daily wanted to quit. I tried a CEO for Nas Daily. I tried a CEO for Nas Academy.
Uh-huh.
And it just didn't freaking work, right?
Can you say, like, high level why it didn't work?
Yeah, I think anything worth building, you got to do it yourself. I think a lot of creators want to focus on the art of creation, not on the art of building a company.
Yeah.
And at some point, you got to prioritize one or the other.
Yeah.
So now my priority is building a company.
It
used to be not my priority. So I think a lot of creators try to do that,
yeah.
to get a CEO to manage it for them.
Yeah.
I think that's where problems happen because creators are very like, my vision in my brain must exist 100% in the world, 100% of it. Because if you make a video, right, whatever you envision in your brain in the video, the final product is 100% of it. But when it comes to delegating to a CEO who's going to delegate to a VP, who's going to delegate to a software engineer, your 100% vision becomes 20% reality.
Right.
And that's a problem. Whatever your vision is, you want to have as little degrees of separation as possible. You don't want to get the Hitler Wikipedia page, you know? So
back to the Hitler Wikipedia. Always comes back to that. Go on.
I told you. So that's why, you know, now it's like very simple, right? There's only 2 degrees of separation between me and anybody in the company. Mm-hmm. And that at least keeps the company aligned.
So what you're saying essentially is like the ability to collaborate and hire the right people, but also you have to still be incredibly involved, right? Like it's,
you have to.
Yeah, because it's your name, it's your vision. Yeah.
I no longer believe in hiring CEOs. I've been burned and I will never recommend it. If you're a creator, you either start your own company and be the CEO of it, or you co-found a company and become the CMO of it, mm-hmm. or the CPO of it. But there's a CEO is like the decision maker, but there's only 2 options. Yeah.
Fascinating. Well, so then what's next for you? You're still uploading to Facebook, like a lot, but obviously you have this team that's helping you do that, right? So where does content play in all of this for you? You said it's not your focus anymore, but it's still a big piece of what you do. So how do you think about content now?
Yeah. You're uploading all over the place too. You're taking advantage of YouTube Shorts. And I thought what's interesting is that—
Yeah, he's the biggest YouTube Shorts fan in the world, by the way.
Yeah, I'm a huge YouTube Shorts fan.
Oh, me too. Me and Josh are the biggest fans then, yeah.
There we go, we can jam on this. But also like you were early to this short form content piece. Like,
what do you mean early? I was 5 years before it. So I was really early.
Yeah. Sorry. You were like protozoic level early. Protozoic? I don't know what. I need a better analogy there. But you were super early to all this. I mean, what was the impetus for you doing those 1 minute videos, 1,000 of them every day for 3+ years? What was the impetus there? Was it just because like, okay, I think it's going to be more interesting to have it in a 60 seconds or less? Or was it just in terms of bandwidth where you're like, oh, if I'm going to get this out every day, I need to do it just for this constraint, this length?
It's harder. It's harder to do a 1 minute because it took me 14 hours to script, shoot, edit, and upload in the same day.
For one video, 14 hours. Is that what you just said?
Yeah.
I want everybody to hear that too, because we have a lot of industry folk that listen to this and people don't understand that it doesn't take like 1 minute or 1 hour to make a 1 minute video. 14 hours for 1 minute of video. That is, that's, I would say that's on the high end, but that's not—
It's a high end.
Not totally unusual.
Because it involves travel, right? Because it's not like I'm sitting in a couch making a 1 minute video. I'm like, let's fly to Ethiopia to make a video about this guy with hyenas. Okay, how much time is that going to cost you?
Yeah, that's incredible. So. That's incredible. Okay, sorry.
So in 2016, you know, when I left Venmo, I mean, the idea was, look, ain't nobody got time for your 20-minute vlog, right? As they say. So there has to be a way to go straight to the point. Just tell me whatever the hell I need to know and bye-bye. You got to be respectful of my time. And honestly, this is where my minority complex shows up. Like, I'm brown, Palestinian in Israel. I don't fucking matter. Yeah, I'm just a number. Mm-hmm. I'm the periphery. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't live in Tel Aviv. So, you know, as a guy who's like average looking, doesn't get any Tinder matches, and is
I
like,
feel like
not,
this is where
know,
we have
not,
to be like, no, you matter. You're good looking.
Don't worry. I'm in a relationship for 5 years, so I'm
You're good.
Good.
Okay.
But you know, like in a way, I don't deserve your attention because you are white from Connecticut and you have all the power, and so that's why I was like, okay, I need to get 1 minute of their time and I want to make it really worth their time. And so that's why immigrants work hard, because we need to work 3 times as hard, 5 times as hard. And so that's why I shifted to 1 minute. And also the future is heading towards shorter and shorter content. So there's 2 reasons why I'm here. If I was self-obsessed, you know, living in super blonde, super white, super good looking, six pack surf boy in California, I would probably make 15-minute videos because you deserve to look at me for 15 minutes, you know? So that's really the way I look at the world, unfortunately.
You know, to your point, though, like, she's an incredible success with this mindset, and I don't know that I want to watch 15 minutes of anything at this point in my life. So I think that blonde surfer guy is, like, probably on the wrong track, because you're really cognizant of, for whatever reason and however you came to that, you're very cognizant of people's time and energy, and so you want to make their experience with you as, you know, worthwhile as possible, which clearly has worked, right?
So far. Yeah. So I think the way Nas Daily work is that we don't look at videos as videos. We look at them as ideas. And the ideas, kind of like TED, they need to be spread anywhere and everywhere as much as possible. Mm-hmm. So what we do is we're on 5 platforms now as a company. We're on Snapchat, thanks to Jealous Mac. We are on YouTube. We are on Facebook. And we are on Instagram and TikTok. Yep. That's 5. Yep. Now, what we also do is every piece of content we make is translated into 2 formats. 1 minute and 3 minutes, 1 short, 1 long. And Every single piece of content is translated to 13 different languages. In Arabic, in Vietnamese, in Hebrew, in Tagalog, in Spanish, in French, in whatever. And we start different channels. A Facebook channel for French, a YouTube channel for French. So you see, every piece of content is translated to 90 places on the internet.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. That's really incredible. And you guys, because you guys have developed some translation technology.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I used to sit there. We have someone like literally copy paste translations and literally upload. And they were like, dude, technology saves everything. So we built a Google Translate for video. That's part of the creator tech.
Yeah.
Right. So upload a video. I can literally translate it to 13 languages in 1 hour, human assisted, and then upload it to 13 different channels. Again, technology. And then show you the damn viewership and analytics. Again, technology. And now I have a dashboard where I just go and I see, all right, this is how many followers I have around the world in all languages, all platforms, 45 million. And this is how many views I get on the internet every day. And this is the sentiment analysis. And this is the breakdown. And that's the future.
And so is that creator tech, are you going to turn that into a separate product that people can subscribe to and pay
for? Of course. NAS Global. Essentially, creators are much more local than they think. Creators think they're global. They're really not global. Yeah. If you speak English, you are talking to the minority, my friend. You're talking to 20% of the world. 80% of the world does not know who the hell you are and what the hell you're saying. You know, when I celebrated 10 million followers on Facebook, I celebrated with my friends. And then I looked around and I was like, oh my God, my dad is not one of those 10 million. He doesn't speak English.
Yeah.
What do we do? Mm-hmm. So, you know, my dad became actually started to understand the videos when I translated them to Arabic. Yeah. So that's why every creator needs to be multi-platform, but the bigger opportunity is multilingual. And you know, let me tell you why this is important. In X country, in let's say in Cambodia, the only thing a normal Cambodian kid can see is state propaganda media that makes you either an extremist or a whatever. And those liberal ideas in San Francisco, they don't reach the Cambodian kid because they're not in English. So they deserve to be translated.
Except for the Cambodian kid that speaks 12 languages, whose video I watched on your channel.
Nice. Nice one.
You're welcome.
You did the homework.
I did my homework.
Thank you.
Fascinating. That's actually a really fascinating story. People should check out about how he went viral on Facebook. And then the kid's like now in a proper university.
The beauty of tourism.
Yeah. That's amazing. Yeah.
And so zooming out for a sec. So you have this creator tech. And so is the creator tech the kind of like overarching bubble that like in the creator tech, there's NAS Global, there's NAS Academy. And so they're all in the universe of creator tech.
Yes. And in the future, it'll be NAS Analytic, NAS Mail, NAS whatever it is. We want to empower the creator using technology.
Got it. And the $11 million was specifically for NAS Academy or for this whole ecosystem?
It's for NAS Academy ecosystem. Whatever we build in the future goes under that legal entity. Simple as that.
Amazing. All right. I was going to say what's next for you, but I mean, I feel like we know. I mean, you have so much. Is there anything we didn't touch that you would say is next for you?
Maybe marriage. Maybe I'll get married or something.
Maybe get married. Great. We'll see. Be great.
What's next, Lauren, is this. We're going to collaborate more. That's what's next. We're going to collaborate with platforms like Jelly Smack.
I love it.
And we're going to become friends with media like Tube Filter.
I love
and
it.
we're gonna be on top of the mind of everybody in the world. That's what's next.
We are here for it, right, Josh?
I love it.
Amazing. We cannot thank you enough for being on this podcast. We are so grateful for your time.
Yes, definitely. I love this universe.
You flew from Singapore directly to my house just to do this in Los Angeles. Oh my God. Like, we are that big of a deal. And so we appreciate
Correct.
You.
Correct. 100%. Thank you so much, Lauren.
And now you're flying back, right?
And now I'm flying
Where can everybody go to learn more about NAS Academy?
Yeah, just go to nasacademy.com and please send me a mail, Yassin, Yassin, at nasacademy.com for anything you want to talk about.
Nasacademy.com. Great, great.
Yeah. And guys, I want to say thank you for giving me the platform. I really appreciate it. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you so much, Nasir. We loved it. Don't forget to go to nasacademy.com to check out what he's doing there and what they're building. And I think we did it, Josh.
Lauren, I think we did it. I'll see you outside of YouTube's HQ on a picket line of some sorts, protesting unfair naming practices.
You will be there right next to me. So yeah, you will see me.
If not there next week on Creator Upload. Today's show was produced by Lauren Schnipper and me. That's Joshua Cohen. It's also edited by Jason Kang. And the original music is by London Bridge, who you can check out on Instagram at London Bridge Music. please make sure you subscribe to Creator Upload on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts. While you're there, give us a rating, leave us a comment. And if you want to get in touch with us, hit us up at info@creatorupload.com. If you like our show, please recommend it to a friend. If you love our show, recommend it to several friends. Thanks for listening to Creator Upload, and we'll be back next week.